Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. This is Nick Augustine here with Attorney Joseph Roble from the Chicago bankruptcy firm Joseph Roble Limited, here to answer real people's questions about bankruptcy. I suppose we're probably going to start with, what if I spent too much on Christmas and the holidays? Who knows? Let's say good morning to Joseph Roble.
Good morning, Nick. How's everything by you?
I am good. I am well. And in North Texas, the land of overspending, as some people look at everything, and we're seeing some expensive electric and heat bills and a lot of other things right now. And just when you think you get ahead, there's something behind you to slap you with some expenses on something. And at times, it's just time to say, I need a fresh start. So we're going to cover all that kind of good stuff. How were your holidays? Good?
They were very good. I spent some time with my granddaughter in San Francisco, so that was great, although we had a lot of rain out there, as you may have read in the papers. And talking about expensive utilities, every time a bill comes in, my wife says, you should see this one. So it's a problem we all have. Well, I have around the country.
Well, I just bought an 18-pack of eggs, and I was excited that I got them for $7.72 at Winco. My brother went to Kroger and found eggs around other prices, but some grocery stores, it's a lot more money, especially if you're buying organic or free-range this or that, and that's just eggs. So now imagine having kids on top of that who need to eat, and school, and this, and that, and it's like reorganization time financially. So when we talk about bankruptcy and all this, let's think about reorganizing our finances and, shaving off and getting rid of the bad debt, the nasty debt, so we can go ahead in a positive light. So that's really what we want people to be left with.
Well, I agree. The word bankruptcy is has a very bad meaning for many people, but it's a wonderful law. If you need it, it helps. And you can either get rid of your debts or consolidate them and reorganize. But just to go back to the eggs for a second, which is funny because I really don't know what eggs cost, but my wife told me the other day she found them at a place called Woodman's for $6, which is the largest grocery store you'll ever see in your life. If you ever come here to visit again, I got to take you. It's wonderful. But there was a great price.
I know about the Woodman's.
And she was happy.
Do they have them in Chicago, or did you have to cross the state line?
No, they have one. They're now in Illinois. One is like 12 minutes away.
Oh, well, there you go. Welcome. Yeah, it's a great thing. Well, it's like, any of the grocery stores, and we look at things like that, where grocery stores source their things and, who's part of Big Change. Kroger just bought up all the Albertsons, which is part of Jewel Osco and Save-On and that whole brand, and that's all coming under the Kroger brand. So it's a bit interesting when you've got one big grocer that controls the entire market. So you have all these other stores, and, this is we're talking about consumer credit and finance. This is on topic. Look around for some of these stores. A lot of people liked going to Aldi, but they thought there's a weird funk about the place. It's got a weird stigma. People just have a weird thing about Aldi. I don't know. But anyone who goes and checks out one of these co-op grocery stores, like my Winco, I can get a big thing of string cheese for $2.48, and the cheapest one at Kroger's, the same thing, is $6 to $8. So there are good prices out there. It's just thinking about being a smart consumer and learning how you can take your money and stack it up for you and use it better. And the more money that you have saved, even if it's a small amount when things are down, that holding on to that savings gives you some buying power. And sometimes having that savings in the bank feels a lot better than having that new car in the driveway, because right now a lot of people are struggling to pay for those payments on things. So cars, those are something we talk about, and homes and lawsuits for people collecting money. A lot of those are very common everyday people's topics that we get on this program. And what we do is we answer questions that real people have, and Joe's going to give us his best lawyer answers to our questions. And our first one is about lawsuits becoming judgments, going to collections. And those garnishments, everyone hates it when the boss says or the HR department says, we have a garnishment of your part of your income. It's going to come out of your check. And that's a really scary thought for a lot of people. So the first question we have is, how does a lawsuit, if we don't pay our debt, how does that become a judgment? And how do the collections proceedings work? And the underlying assumption is, how does bankruptcy help us with that?
Okay, so judgment is a word that many people have heard, but from my own experience, don't necessarily understand what it is. A judgment is a finding or a determination by a judge that money being claimed against you by a creditor is actually due and owing. So when money's owed, for example, on a credit card, you owe Chase for a card that you haven't been able to pay for a long time, and Chase Bank hires an attorney and they file a lawsuit. So the lawsuit are simply allegations. They're making a claim against you. They are saying you had a credit card with us and you agreed to pay and you haven't. They have to prove those allegations to the court. Now, that kind of a case is not difficult to do, but until there is a determination that those allegations are true, it's simply a lawsuit, and the creditor has no way to collect from you without calling you, scaring you, threatening you, sending you letters. So with the lawsuit being filed in court and you get served with a summons to appear, there'll be a court date. At some point in time, that court date will turn into a judgment unless you work out a settlement plan and work out something to repay the creditor. At the court date, the judge will hear the evidence by the creditor, Chase Bank, which is the example we're using, and the judge, assuming that the creditor's attorney did their work properly, and it's not very difficult to do, the judge will sign final papers, although signing nowadays is electronic, but those final papers is called a court order and a judgment in favor of the plaintiff, the creditor, Chase Bank. And that judgment will indicate the money that's due and owing. So now Chase Bank has a judgment against you, and they are allowed to collect this money any way that's legal: wage garnishment, a lien on a bank account. They can also ask the local sheriff to seize assets. Perhaps you have a car that's paid for. They can also take the judgment and record it against property you may own, and it sits there as a lien and collects interest. The usual way that a credit card debt or other claim that is in default that turns into a lawsuit that becomes a judgment, the usual way that's collected is by a wage garnishment. Now, what happens if Chase Bank doesn't know where you're working? They can ask you to come to court to answer some questions known as interrogatories. Sometimes this is done by in writing without having to appear, where you have to answer under oath. And they will seek information from you. Are you employed? Where do you work? What do you make? Do you own real estate? Where are your bank accounts? And this is all legal, and this is a way for the creditor to figure out how they're going to collect from you. And once they have this information, then they can take the legal action they think to do this collection. And again, almost always it's a wage garnishment if you're employed. And the wage garnishment itself, or the threat of the wage garnishment, or having a judgment entered against you, knowing that it may turn into a wage garnishment, that often brings people to me as a bankruptcy attorney.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want their wages garnished. Taking 15% of your gross takes a big chunk of your money. Employers don't like it. They don't like to see their employees have these things. They don't like to deal with the paperwork. So it's a big impetus to possibly file a bankruptcy under the appropriate circumstances.
Right. Well, and especially, too, now in the age of everything being public record, people look things up, and especially younger people who are dating or someone is divorced and looking to get remarried or something. And, you know, people look up and they say, oh, this guy has a, you know, and it's not the, I'll tell you this, it's not going to be the girl I'd be dating. It would be her friend who doesn't like me. And then she's like, oh, did you know that he's got a judgment, whatever. And, you know, people are, and it makes sense, especially if you're looking, you know, job. It, you know, it used to be that everyone was worried about those showing up in the newspaper. Well, no one reads the newspaper anymore, you know. And a lot of times, unless people are looking for that stuff, and nobody's really, your neighbors aren't all looking for that stuff unless they know, unless you tell them. But, it, you know, there's stuff out there. Some people have an interest in keeping their social, you know, score, so to speak, clean. Another thing to mention, too, is that we have this the phrase called bleeding a turnip. And if there's no money to get and nothing to collect, how much is it worth these companies to go after you? You got to remember that they're paying lawyers to pursue you. They're, you know, the collections people, you know, get a you know, portion of what they collect. But, you know, a lot of times, like, when there's a lawyer that's going to be in court, they got to open a file. Now, unless they have, like, a ton, they usually do. They usually have a huge stack of those files, and you're just one of the people they're suing. But, you know, that's something that's a reason to talk to Joe Roble and talk to his office and find out, you know, am I someone who needs to do a bankruptcy to protect myself, or do I have nothing to take and they can go pound sand? So that's what you've got to figure out. And if you don't need a bankruptcy, that's what you're going to find out. So sometimes finding out that you don't even need to do bankruptcy, it can give you the most relief. So moving on, our next question is about income tax, which is something that has been in the news more frequently with the 87,000 or whatever additional IRS agents that are going to be staffed to hunt everyone down, and they're going to be jumping out of every tree and whatever else. So people are concerned about tax debts. And the thing that I want to preface here is that with the IRS, it's the not filing is a problem. Filing and lying, big problem. Fraud is a problem. So there's a lot of issues there. And some people say, well, if I'm going to file these taxes now, I can't pay them. Tax debt's an issue. So how can you discharge income tax debt in a Chapter 7 bankruptcy? What are we looking at there?
Okay. So what we're looking at is we're talking about personal income taxes. We're not talking about payroll taxes, sales tax, corporate income tax, but personal income tax. If at the time, the date of the filing of your Chapter 7 bankruptcy, it has been more than 3 years since your personal income taxes were to have been paid, or at least 2 years since it's been assessed. Because what happens sometimes is that taxes are owed for a year, a certain year, and there's no assessment that they're owed, and they're made later. So if it's been 2 years since they've been assessed, and if there's no fraud, if there's been no amendments requested, if there's been no audit, the income taxes can be discharged like a credit card, like a medical bill. But it's not that cut and dried. What I tell my clients is that if you meet these criteria, then most likely the taxes will be discharged. But we won't know until after filing.
Yeah.
I've had in the past clients come in, the only reason they need to file is for income tax. And I have told them that we don't know, and you really can't find out until after filing because of the complication with regard to the law and how the IRS works. You really can't find out whether it will be discharged or not. Sometimes that's a situation for doing a Chapter 13 if it's just income taxes, and pay them back over a period of 5 years and stop the interest, which is very beneficial to also.
Yeah. So if someone, because I've heard of people too with small businesses who say, you know, I'm thinking of filing a bankruptcy, but I also have several years I haven't filed taxes for, and then they're going to file taxes and then see that they owe for all those years, and they're just going to include that in the bankruptcy. I've heard people talk about that before, so that's, you know,
yeah,
that's
but they can't.
There.
If I interview someone right now and they haven't filed for the last couple of years and they're going to do a Chapter 7, filing the taxes now won't do them any good. The taxes won't be old enough.
Mm-hmm.
They should have they'd have to get them filed, and there'd have to be a waiting period.
Yeah, there you go. All right, well, and sometimes just filing those, and again, working things out with the IRS might be something where you think you owe X amount of dollars, and they're willing. I mean, I hear the ads on the TV all the time for the tax law firms, and the tax law firm is different from the bankruptcy law firm, and the tax law firm does some different things, but, you know, that may be an interesting, you know, get on the phone, start asking questions, find this stuff out, because that's the best way. And a lot of, you know, the worst thing about bankruptcy or taxes or, you know, going to the dentist or any of these things is like the anticipation of it is always the worst. And then once you get into it and get it over with, it's usually a lot easier. But the anticipation, that just kills us. So just want to remind people that there's a lot going on with bankruptcy and a lot of these laws. They're very complicated as we're kind of going through. And the documentation, it can be overwhelming. People do try to do these on their own. Some can do that. There's also a guy on an island in the South Pacific who learned how to do his own dentistry. I suppose you could do that if you want. But if you want 40 years of experience in representing clients in consumer bankruptcy, you better go to Joseph Robel Limited. Joe and his staff know that you're probably anxious about your financial problems, tired of harassment by the creditors, and uncertain whether filing bankruptcy is what's going to really help your financial situation so you can back ahead of all that debt. So when you do call Joseph Robel Limited in one of the offices all over Chicagoland, the entire procedure from beginning to end is going to be explained to you, and you'll get a nice what to do next letter, so you know what's going on, what you need to do, and what Joseph Robel is going to do. He's going to set all the things ahead of you and put the ball in your court so you can decide if filing bankruptcy is going to give you the relief that you need and put you in the spot that you need to be in to get ahead for the future, so that you can get to that spot where you say, it's okay about this price of eggs or bills because I've got some money stacked away because I learned better spending. And, you know, and a lot of this, once you come out of bankruptcy, it's learning how to save your money. And once you start learning how to save money and you've got that money saved and someone, you know, rolls up next to you at a stoplight with a nice new car and it's like, that's really nice. But, man, I remember feeling that payment and the anxiety of trying to figure out how I'm going to keep this expensive car from getting repossessed or the insurance on it and the eggs, you know. It's you feel a lot of relief when you are not behind that financial eight ball. So Joseph Robel has offices all over the Chicago area, as I said, in the Loop, Chicago Rosemont neighborhood, and also in the suburbs of Burr Ridge, Deerfield, Gurnee, Naperville, Orland Park, Schaumburg, Skokie, St. Charles, and Westchester. So they can represent Illinois clients all over Cook, Will, DuPage, Kane, LaSalle, Kendall, and Lake Counties. Again, all sorts of information is on our website, chicagobankruptcy.com, questions and answers. There's a search bar. Just search your question, and through the website, you'll be able to find all sorts of content that more than explains your answer, and you'll be just so excited to call and find out how you can get these people off your back and you know, have a day without freaking out about money, because that's a good thing. So back to our program. Next one is this person wants to know, I need to file a bankruptcy, but I also need to buy a car first. So is that going to be a problem? Someone needs to get a vehicle, but they need to do a bankruptcy, and they want to be above board for everything. So what's the deal there?
There's usually no problem doing so. If you don't have a car and now you have a job and you need a car to get there, or if your car has died on you, as long as you're not extravagant, if you are spending a reasonable amount of money on a monthly payment, whether it's a loan or a lease, in proportion to your income, then there won't be a problem with the bankruptcy trustee by taking out this debt before filing. What'll happen if you're doing Chapter 13 to repay and consolidate your debt, you'll continue the car payments directly. They won't be included in the plan. If it's Chapter 7 and you're getting rid of a whole bunch of debt, you will continue to pay them. You'll sign an agreement that says even though you're filing a bankruptcy, you can keep the vehicle, never a problem with the creditor. The creditors will know, whether it's Chapter 7 or Chapter 13, that you filed. They don't care. They just want their money, and they want you to keep the vehicle completely insured. So usually not a problem, you know, unless you go nuts and you're spending $900 a month on a new vehicle.
Yeah, it's amazing how much people are spending on, well, the price of some of the new cars. If you ever go somewhere where all the cars are there at an auto show or something, it's the sticker price. It makes you want to learn some skills to, you know, keep these vehicles running for longer on our own. Yeah, it's something or else. So I have another question here. I'm kind of hopping around a little bit, I realize. A question about dismissing a Chapter 13 someone has. They say, can I file to dismiss my Chapter 13 bankruptcy without my lawyer? My situation has changed, and I no longer need to be in a Chapter 13. I want to discuss my Chapter 13, but my lawyer keeps telling me I cannot. My situation has changed, and I no longer need the Chapter 13. Interesting. What can I do?
All right. I'm not sure why the attorney would tell his or her client that they cannot dismiss the 13. You have an absolute right. Nobody can stop you from doing that. My suggestion would be talk to another attorney to look at your situation and make sure that you're doing the right thing. But other than that, you have a right to dismiss. Nobody can force you to continue with a repayment Chapter 13.
Right. Anytime. You get out of it. Get done. You know, you won the lottery. Congratulations. Next question. Can a previous lawsuit that's still pending, can it continue after I file my Chapter 7 filings? Further detail is, after I filed my Chapter 7, the law firm with whom I was in a lawsuit continued to file documents against me even during my Chapter 7 and asked for a judgment during my Chapter 7. They also called my 341 meeting to harass me about false statements. Wow. Okay. What do we have there?
All right. Yeah, here, when a Chapter 7 or a Chapter 13 is filed, at the exact moment in time on the day of filing, there's a court order that goes into effect. It's called automatic stay. Automatic meaning that no one has to go to court to ask for this. It's entered automatically, and stay means stop. The automatic stay stops all creditors, phone calls, letters, harassment, lawsuits, wage garnishment, even the IRS. If when you file your bankruptcy, the IRS is taking money out of your wages, they have to stop. Now, the action by the law firm representing the creditor where they continued proceeding with the case is a technical violation of the automatic stay, and the attorney for this particular debtor could have sought to get sanctions by the bankruptcy court against the creditor and the creditor's attorney and perhaps seek some money for their time and their trouble. For the creditor appearing at the 341 meeting, they are allowed, creditors are allowed to attend the meetings. Here in Illinois, we're doing all our meetings still by Zoom, which I have to say is rather nice. You don't have to travel anywhere.
Yeah.
But a creditor can attend and ask questions. And sometimes the questions have to do with the application made for a loan or a credit card to see if the information was accurate. So although it feels like harassment, it's perfectly proper to do, which leads to another issue. Applying for credit, don't boast, don't aggrandize, don't increase, be honest. Whatever your income is, whatever your problems are, put them down on paper. If you put false statements, you could have a problem in the future with the creditor, particularly if you file bankruptcy and you could be found to have committed bankruptcy fraud. So,
I've got it in my head. I just go ahead, finish you first.
Okay. So this question, everything should have stopped when the bankruptcy was filed. The appearing at the meeting was totally proper.
Two things in popular culture that are tied to the answer to this question. Number one, in the second part, what you just said, when we're talking about applications for things and being truthful on those, look up Todd and Julie Crisley from Crisley Knows Best. He is doing 12.5 years in prison in Florida, and even though it's a minimum security prison, that's still awful. And it was over – they lied on all these loans to get money to finance other operations, and they did it over and over with different things, and everyone starts to believe it. It's like a Ponzi scheme. That will get you in hot water. Also in the news recently regarding the automatic stay, Alex Jones, known for his InfoWars radio show, was sued, and there was a $1.5 billion judgment against him, and the judge allowed a motion, and there was a Chapter 11 bankruptcy case, and the judge allowed a motion to change some of the provisions of the automatic stay, allowing the family to continue in litigation for their $1.5 billion, including post-judgment motions and appeals and all these things. But also it said in the article that they're not going to actually be able to seek any of the actual money, like there may not be any money to get. But so there are things where the automatic stay and all these things are, that is the general law, that is the law, but people can ask for, and it's their right to ask the judge to move things around and change things at times. So, you know, you've got to be on the ball, and someone who tries to do this on their own could get totally blindsided. You know, let's say I go and do all my research, and I go in and I'm going to file this thing, and all of a sudden I've got some person who shows up at the creditors meeting saying, oh, you know, we want you to do this and this. And I'm standing there going, what? How can you do that? Well, I should have hired Joseph Froebel. My goodness. So there you go.
Well, to your point of doing a bankruptcy on your own, I've taken over cases that people have filed without an attorney. They wind up spending more money than if they would have seen me initially, because I have to undo the mistakes that they made.
Right. Yeah. It's like the guy who did his own teeth. Like, good luck. Let me know how that goes.
Yes.
How's that working out for you? Give it some time. So how do we start getting our credit score back up after we have a bankruptcy?
Okay. Most people will get inundated with letters from local automobile dealers. They want to sell you a car. How do they know you filed bankruptcy? All court matters in the United States are public records. We have an open, well, supposed to have an open society, and all this information is public. Adoptions are sealed. You can't find out about those, and national security matters. So the auto dealers will get a list from a service company of people who have finished their bankruptcy, and they want to sell you a car because they know you don't have any more debt. You filed Chapter 7. So it's, you'll find it, if you're working, relatively easy to finance a new car. A lot of people don't know that. You're going to pay a high interest rate, extraordinarily high, and you can get that high interest rate reduced by putting more money down. And then once you buy the car, making sure that you've signed up for a loan that you know you can pay if you're going to work, make sure you pay timely every single month. By obtaining this new credit and paying timely, you will slowly increase your score. A second thing to do would be to obtain a secured credit card, since an unsecured card, it may take you some time to get. Most major banks will allow you to get a Visa or MasterCard that's secured. The security is a bank account that you open with them. So if you put $1,000 in a savings account with your local major bank, they'll give you a Visa or a MasterCard that you can use up to $1,000. No one knows it's secured by looking at the card. And you then use that card every month for things you can know you can afford to pay, groceries, gasoline, other retail purchases. And you make sure that every single month you pay the complete bill so it's zeroed out monthly. This, too, will slowly increase your score over time and will allow you, if your income is okay and depending on the economy, to buy that house you never had, even though you had a bankruptcy. So yeah. People think that bankruptcy is the end of their credit life, and that's totally incorrect.
Yep. Something that people should try to remember is that the U.S. economy runs on debt and borrowed money, and that's where a lot of income is made. And there are a lot of times that we get stuck in a certain time frame and fixed in a point in time where we understood how things worked. And things are constantly changing. And what was true 5 years ago about some of the stuff we're talking about may have changed. Just the people looking at renting apartments or finding other income. I mean, look at how many, the word side hustle. No one even knew what that was 10 years ago. And now everyone's got some sort of extra income opportunity, and they see that they can get a leg up. And there's a lot. You can get that new car and finance that new car, and you're upset about, you maybe have a high interest rate, but maybe you're driving Uber, and that's helping, knock that off. And you're saying, hey, a part-time extra thing like this is not so bad. And people start finding out that it's there's all sorts of interesting, fun ways to make money. And people who are in careers that they just cannot stand, it's like, well, if everyone else is going through difficult times, maybe I can make a change too. So there's always a light at the end of the tunnel. You just have to have the right mindset to see it. So our last question, and then we have more questions we'll come back to next month, but our last question is just a general time frame and process that people can expect from the common bankruptcy case. How long is this going to take? You mentioned 5 years for the Chapter 13. I know with the Chapter 7 it's going to be less time, and then it's interesting with this Chapter 11 that we talked about with Alex Jones, because that was, he incorporated, himself and his personality as a business. And we're finding more people who are learning to do that, to try to get around different laws and different things. So, as life and things change, so changes that what we do. But just in general, what can people expect if they're looking at a Chapter 7 or 13 bankruptcy, and how long is that going to be? Are they going to have to go to court a million times? Are they going to have to talk to you a million times? What should they look forward to?
Okay, so Chapter 7 bankruptcy is about the fastest thing that exists in the law, other than perhaps evictions. Here in our jurisdiction, Northern District of Illinois, from the day the case is filed until you have your signed court order of discharge, it's a little bit less than 4 months. It can be 3.5 months, 3 months and 3 weeks, maybe 4 months and a couple of days, but so figure 4 months for completion. The other thing about Chapter 7, if you are an honest person, you will get your discharge. You don't check your mail every day and cross your fingers and hope you'll get your discharge. You will receive your discharge. Case will not take 2 months, but it won't take 10 months. So you know in advance in the Chapter 7, before doing anything, how long the process is and what's going to happen. There generally is no required court meeting in a Chapter 7. There is one meeting with a Chapter 7 trustee. These were always done in person everywhere. Now in our jurisdiction, they're only by Zoom. Depending on where you live in the country, they may be by Zoom, by telephone, maybe in person. The meeting is quite simple. People are always nervous about meeting with the trustee. We, as your attorney, appear with you. You're asked some simple questions, even less detailed than our first interview. There is a lot of paperwork required for Chapter 7 and Chapter 13, because everything that goes in the petition, even though you're the most honest person in the world, we have to see documents supporting what you're telling us. So if you tell us you've got $500 in a checking account, okay, I need to see a bank statement. So lots of paperwork. You have to do credit counseling twice, once before and once after filing. It takes about 90 minutes each time. Pretty routine, very inexpensive. So the Chapter 7 process is short, simple. Chapter 13, again, there is a court date scheduled in a Chapter 13 for the case to be approved, depending on where you reside and the local practices of the U.S. trustee, you may not have to appear. In our jurisdiction, generally, the debtor does not have to appear at the court confirmation hearing. There is a meeting with the Chapter 13 trustee. Again, lots of paperwork, actually a little bit more than Chapter 7. And then the plan itself will run usually 5 years. We'll usually set them 5 years, because the longer the plan, the smaller the payment. We can set them shorter. Plans can run less, but they can't go more than 5 years. So as you said earlier, the biggest problem for people with bankruptcy is the anticipation and being afraid of it. And what I tell my clients, and you'll read it on our website, is if you think you need to do this, we'll go through your finances and we'll tell you whether a bankruptcy will help and which one will work for you. And if they won't, we'll explain why and what you may need to do. We will give you good, honest, professional advice.
There you go. And that's all anyone needs, is just to know what's going on. And it helps people with just communicate with a lot of the, you know, these people are collecting, you know, whether they're the bankruptcy trustee or the people calling to, you know, threaten this or that, and then the collection process, you know, they're all just doing their jobs. It's not personal. And, you know, if you don't go crazy or do something, you know, stupid and try to pull the wool over everyone's eyes because they think you're so smart, you know, that's going to get their attention and that's going to upset them. But if you just roll through like a normal person with normal issues, you're going to have the normal experience and it's going to be just fine. And, you know, it's like I just picture people like, you know, pulling up in the parking lot and they're, everyone's going to see me. Everyone's going to know. Well, now it's on Zoom. So unless you tell them, they're not going to see you. It's fine. Chill out. Get a bankruptcy. It's fine. Get a divorce. It's fine. Get whatever. Do whatever you need to do. I think like that's our post-COVID, you know, sort of rally cry for a lot of people is like, you know, if you're still here and functioning, like do the best you can and, you know, hold on to what you have and, you know, take pleasure in the things in life that don't, you know, cost a lot of money. You know, the free things. There's a lot of good free things, like taking a walk in the sun or something, you know. Not, I don't know if it's sunny by you today, but it's probably too cold to walk there, but I don't know. That's about it.
It is sunny.
Sunny's good. Yeah, it's sunny here, and it's warm, and everyone thinking of moving here, we're full. So find somewhere else. So I heard Nashville's wonderful. Their bankruptcy laws are great. Go there. So, all right, Joe. Well, I wanted to remind people, too, that story I said about Alex Jones' bankruptcy, that is on the website. Wrote an article about that recently, another article about side hustles. There's all sorts of things that we put on the website, blog articles, to help people, you know, pull themselves up by the bootstraps, find some bootstraps, do whatever you need to do to have a happy life, get the people to stop calling you, and move forward. So, again, ChicagoBankruptcy.com for all your bankruptcy information. Tell a friend, tell whoever needs to, you know, ask questions about, you know, getting credit back in line or doing whatever they need to do. So Joseph Roble is here to answer your questions. He makes it easy, and he just really wants everyone to have a good time at it. So, Joe, thank you again for your time, and we'll be back soon. Any final thoughts on how people can get in touch with you if they want to find out today whether this is something that they should put on their calendar?
Well, I make myself quite available to clients. You can call me directly on my cell phone at 312-804-8416. A lot of people are a little nervous about that initial call, and they want to read about bankruptcy, as all of us do when we're looking at a new subject or a new purchase or whatever. So go online and go to ChicagoBankruptcy.com. You will find many of our previous radio talk shows like this one. You will find answers to many questions and a lot of good information to give you a little head start before you get in touch with me.
There you go.
Nick, thank
all
you
right,
very
well,
much.
It is. It's Monday. It's January. Everyone should be back from all their holidays now, and it's time to get to work and put both feet forward, or your best foot forward, however the saying goes. And do check out those articles. The one about side hustles, you know, everyone thinks it's just Uber or, you know, Uber Eats or something, but there's a lot of stuff that's out there, a lot of jobs that people just don't think about. There's jobs and industries and events and, you know, things that we just don't normally think about that are really easy ways, that are fun ways to make some extra money. And a lot of times those side hustles can turn into, you know, what happens when your side hustle overtakes your main job and you're trying to balance that. You know, that's how a lot of people stumble into being their own business owners. They never sought out to do it. I never sought out to do it. I worked for a judge who had allergies and fibromyalgia and you know, all sorts of issues, and I had a cat, and so because of the cat allergies, I had to work from home and you know, do different things that led me into having my own business. And I never thought that would happen. I never wanted that. There's all sorts of things that can happen in our life. We just like have to stop, get off the hamster wheel, figure something out, look around, start talking to people, and empower yourself to do better. So that's the name of the game. So that's enough. I'm done preaching. Anything more from you, Joe?
No, that's basically all for today.
All right. Sounds good. Everyone have a great Monday. We'll talk to you all soon. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.